Happy Friday, Plant City. I'm Justin Klein, she's Brianne Williams, and we'd like to welcome you back to the 6 Feet Apart cast. The Plant City Observer is bringing you the latest on all things COVID-19 around our area week after week, and we are going to start with the news from the latest EPG meeting. Take us through, Bri. What happened?
So this is a week filled with news. I'm going to do my best to really take a broad spectrum of coverage and condense it down to a really short period of time. So let's start with the EPG. Thursday's meeting was, for lack of a better word, long and laborious. There's really no other way to summarize it. It had been great at the start. There were multiple medical updates that went in depth on the state of the county, Florida as a whole, and even the nation. And they talked about all kinds of things from, you know, how many COVID cases we had to what were the other costs of this pandemic? What was it looking like for mental health, as well as, you know, for children in the community? How was all of this kind of coming together to paint a broader picture? And overall, the synopsis was that the number of COVID cases in Hillsborough County are rising steadily, but the fatality rate is not. And the reason for this is that many of the new cases are not coming from the elderly population or those with more vulnerable immune systems. Instead, in a fact that kind of caught a lot of the EPG off guard, the growth rate currently is the highest in the age range of 15 to 64 years of age. So that's basically the working population. There were 450 new cases over the past week. And to put that in perspective, during last week's meeting, the jump had been 250 cases. And that jump alone was enough to put many of the EPG members on edge, which led to such an in-depth conversation this week. Then things kind of took a turn. So Commissioner Overman, she presented a motion last week. Emotion might be a strong word. She started to talk about putting a motion on the table for a policy that would recommend that people would have the right to wear their face coverings, wear their mask in public and private settings. Obviously, without seeing that in writing, the EPG was not really on board with it. So what they did was they had County Attorney Christine Beck write something up, they reviewed it, and then they talked about it this week. And so this recommendation was going to essentially make sure that people could wear their face coverings in a public or a private setting unless they were prohibited by federal or state law. It would give them the right to say, I am wearing this. She floated the idea after claiming that constituents had told her their employees had discouraged the workers from wearing them on duty. That, however, is a very slippery slope for the rest of the group, as there was a lot of talk back and forth between overstepping without any research and data. And there was even, you know, there was a discussion of whether this was even remotely the responsibility of the EPG or if this belonged to some other board or other group. Eventually, it was shot down in a 5-3 vote, and the meeting continued like normal, wrapped up, and they'll be meeting again next Thursday at 1:30. So if you are listening locally, you probably have been following along studiously to the coverage of the two protests we've had in the community this week. One was Tuesday evening, and then one was last night. So several hundred people arrived Tuesday and marched from the James L. Redmond and East Park Road intersection to the police station, which is on Alexander Street, and then back, and they made several turns back and forth from the Alexander Street intersection to the East Park intersection after, you know, returning from the long march to the police station. And overall, that rally was relatively peaceful. A Confederate flag was snatched from the back of a truck, and a man attempted to burn it. During the confrontation that followed that incident, a PCPD officer was pepper sprayed. And it appeared as if some of the spray kind of flew back and hit other people as well, because there was at least one other person that was putting milk in his eyes following that incident. And the guy that took the flag was the only one that was arrested during that protest. Later, PCPD said that protesters had thrown rocks at two police vehicles. That combined with the fact that their officer had been pepper sprayed and that several water bottles had been thrown toward the officers later at the evening kind of led for the rally to be shut down. HESO said that deputies had to deploy a less lethal round on one subject seen throwing bottles at HESO deputies and the Plant City police officers. The subject fled the scene to avoid arrest. And there is a video going around Facebook that shows a man standing at the racetrack flinging something that appears to be a water bottle toward the police, and then there's a pop and you see him fall down, and everybody is saying he was struck by one of the rubber bullets. Thursday evening's protest was held in historic downtown at Village Green Park, aka the Midtown Fountain. That's what most people who live here know it as. And many were comparing this event to a block party. There was free pizza, music, shaved ice, dancing, and then there was a peaceful march throughout downtown. And when the group got to the courthouse, they knelt on the steps and they began to pray. And right before they started, they asked the officers standing above them. They were kind of between the top of the steps and the building. They asked them to bow their heads too, and the majority of them did. Then the group prayed, they chanted, and eventually they moved back onto the street to march downtown toward Village Green. It wrapped up moments before the rain came, which was impeccable timing, and they left with the promise of continuing to fight for equality and justice, and talks of taking their message to the city commission meetings to kind of push this in a matter that hopefully they can enact local change. So our full coverage of both of the protests this week are online at plantcityobserver.com. And the Tuesday evening protest ran in print in this week's paper, which is on the racks now. Promise Goodwin, she is one of the rising leaders from these events in the community. And she said that she's going to hopefully have these type of protests every Tuesday night at that racetrack intersection by East Park Road and James L. Redmond. So I'm sure we'll be hearing much more about this in the coming days and weeks. And if you would like to follow along, you can follow Justin Klein and I on Twitter. All of that information is on the Facebook post before every event.
And another big thing that's happened, as many of you know, today marks the official start of phase two of Governor Ron DeSantis's plan to reopen Florida. So what this means is, I'll break it down for you in a few points. Things that can be back to full capacity, gyms and retail stores. Your gathering size has gone up quite a bit. So now you can have as many as 50 people together at the same time. Obviously, you still want to be social distancing and stuff, but it's no longer a 10-person gathering limit anymore. Now we're going up to 50. Tattoos and piercing parlors, acupuncture services, tanning beds, massage, all these places can reopen with, and I use quotes for this, appropriate safety guidelines from the Florida Department of Health per the reopening order. And lastly, the things that can reopen up back to 50% capacity include bars, pubs, movie theaters, bowling alleys, concert halls, auditoriums, arcades, playhouses, and entertainment venues, things like that. Restaurants can now also open up their bar seating. So we are pretty steadily moving back to some kind of normal, I'd say. Anyway, we're going to move on now to our talk of the town. This week, obviously the number one thing in everybody's mind has been the protesting that's been going on for a few days this week. We had two demonstrations in 3 days. There was one Tuesday. There was one last night. Bree and I have been on the scene for both of them, and you can check out our coverage online at plantcityobserver.com. Tuesday's protest also, that was yesterday's paper's cover story in case you missed it. But anyway, here's what some of you had to say on Facebook when we were out there covering it and posting updates and stuff. Again, if I mispronounce your name, I apologize in advance. Brenda Camargo said, social distancing went out the door. Tammy Langdale said, praying for peace for our city. Brenda Boyd Anderson said, as long as y'all are peaceful, I'm with you, but as soon as you commit a crime, I'm against you. Melissa Harvey said, if a pedestrian is hit by a vehicle in the crosswalk, you will know they're not a local, because we know Plant City drivers don't stop behind the crossbar. Joey Tomasina, and this is a pretty long one, so I'll do my best here, but Joey said, ladies and gentlemen, we live in Plant City for a reason. 99% of the people that live here are great. I will take them odds anywhere in the U.S. The disappointing point is that local businesses boarded up their businesses fearing the worst. Should they have shut down early? Yes, to let their employees go demonstrate if they wanted to. So, whoever freaked out Tuesday night, about the protest just needs to get out a little more to the city, meaning I worked last Saturday night near University Mall in Tampa, and when I was getting off the freeway, Alexander, about 12 a.m., our streets were quiet, fire department sleeping, gas stations opened, etc. Felt great hitting that exit. So, point being, have faith in Plant City. We are all good people, no matter what race. Don't let the social media stuff scare you. Yes, there will always be that one idiot. But to board up businesses, requesting deputies at the gate of Walden Lake just shows, even though we are a great city, how much more we can grow. Brad Sparkman said, police departments need to have body cameras on every officer. Safety measure for both the officer and the citizen. It's 2020. Chief Duncan, let's get into 2020. It was a grant as well. John Glass said, well, I was there, and honestly, the people who marched were peaceful. Now, on the other hand, there were the typical morons trying to antagonize the marchers with rebel flags and exposing weapons, and people wonder where this anger comes from. Susan Prahl said, this is so, so sad and disturbing. I lived through the riots of the 60s, and I was very young then. I now know how my parents felt. Sad. Tiffany Jackson said, so many are posting worried about business and homes, which I understand. However, where is the worry and concern for the lives that have been taken, the mistreatment of blacks across this nation, and in our very city? While you were calling the mayor in regards to a curfew, be sure to ask when we will have a citywide day of prayer in all communities within our city. Well, just to hit pause for a second, we had, Bree, you said there was one on Tuesday? So there's one on Tuesday, and there was also one yesterday morning as well. So these things are happening. So for all of you out there who are in the faith-based community, these are definitely going on, and a lot of local churches out here are organizing these things. So there's plenty of opportunity for people to come together and pray for the safety of Plant City. And in the event that there are any more protests in town, and when we recorded the podcast at that time, we didn't know for sure if there was any more on the schedule, any more demonstrations like this. But, you know, whatever happens, if this little segment aged terribly and there has been something scheduled since we put the podcast up, we will be back out there and you can follow along online. Anyway, we're going to move on to the introvert's guide to self-isolation. Now, we talked earlier about how Florida's entering phase two today, and whatever your stance on COVID is, this means that a lot more people are going to spend a lot less time inside now. So maybe look at this segment as inspiration for what you can do with your time while you're self-isolating because, oh, maybe you tested positive, knock on wood, you didn't. Maybe you're just doing it temporarily as a precaution because you're not sure if you caught it somewhere. Or maybe you just liked staying indoors so much that you really don't want to ever go back out and deal with people again. It's your life. Anyway, my contribution, I mean, I've been pretty wrapped up with the protests and stuff. It's been a pretty crazy week. So to take my mind off of this, I picked up a game called Minecraft Dungeons. A lot of you are probably familiar with Minecraft. A lot of your kids played it, and a lot of you older kids, adults, whatever, might play it too. This is a 3D, it's called a dungeon crawler, which means basically you're running around a bunch of dungeons, looking for loot, treasure, things like that. There's a little subplot in there about saving the world. You have different character classes and stuff. But for people who play a lot of these games, like the Diablo series comes to mind, there's a lot of familiar things in there. It's definitely a love letter to some of those games. If you're new to the genre or you just want something new and different to pick up, well, A, it's only $20. B, it has local multiplayer. C, the online mode is really good. And D, it's family-friendly fun. There is nothing about this game that I can say anyone should be on the lookout for as far as, you know, keep their kids away from it or anything. It's really good family fun. A buddy of mine got it as well, and he's been playing with his son, and I jump on with them every now and then. It's just a great time. So if you're looking for a relatively cheap new video game, and, you know, if you like 3D RPGs, dungeon crawlers, or if you're new to it and you want to check it out and see what one is, this is a really good entry point to that style of gaming. So I highly recommend it. Anyway, what about you, Bree? What have you been up to?
Yeah, I think going off of what you said, all of us are kind of in a weird position right now because so many people are going back to their normal routines despite the data that we're seeing pour in from the medical community about the still lingering threat of COVID-19. And I mean, it's on the rise again. So then you've got all of the social unrest around the country, which is 100% the right of the people to do. Protests have been the go-to route throughout history for those who face injustice or who see injustice. to kind of force the government to change. So I want to make that part very clear. It is absolutely the right of American residents to hit the streets, demand justice and change. However, with the COVID-19 pandemic far from being resolved, it adds a level of danger to the protest that wasn't here before. Fortunately, many of the people that I've been speaking to in person, both here in Plant City and at some of the other protests throughout Tampa Bay, as well as a lot of the interviews I've been reading online, are showing that a large majority of at least the vocal protesters are aware of the risk and they're choosing to self-isolate once they return home. If the majority actually do that, then hopefully it will keep the spread of coronavirus down. If not, as we discussed in an article that came out this week, our county is going to have to really buckle down and decide medically how it plans to go forward to keep people safe and keep infections on the decline. I say all that to say, if you can still isolate at home as much as possible, it's probably best to do so right now. So for this week, I really recommend channeling all of your energy into thinking about the future. Do you want to travel? Is there a road trip or a cruise or an international experience you've been wanting to do? Now is the time to iron out all of those details you wish you had taken the time to research before you had left. A friend of mine, she makes these like really detailed Excel spreadsheets of restaurants she wants to visit in different cities, and she separates them via the time of day that you're recommended to eat there and then the location of said restaurant. And I've used them before. Many of my friends have now used them before, and they have made exploring a city that we are uncomfortable with a breeze, as well as getting to see a side of a city we're really familiar with that we probably didn't even know existed. A colleague of mine from a paper I worked at in college also has a system where he will pick one city that he's interested in, and then he does a deep dive and kind of channels his interest into an immersive analysis of the city before he ever leaves. So say you want to go to New Orleans. Make a Google Doc or a WordPress or a Word Doc or a Pages or whatever you use, and break up what you want out of the trip into headers. Do you want good food? Then you need to follow a bunch of food bloggers for that area and try to find out what the locals are recommending. So going off the New Orleans theme, heads up, if the address of the location you're headed to is on Bourbon Street, you probably don't want to go there. None of the locals do, and there's a reason for that. So once you get a decent list of restaurants you want to try, you won't have to stress about where to go when you get there. Are museums your thing? What do people like? What do people say sucks? What are their hours? What kind of cater to those niche interests that you hold that, you know, hopefully someone else does too? Is there an Airbnb experience available in the area that's right up your alley? Do you want to take a cooking lesson with a local cook or go on a haunted booze tour through the French Quarter? Do you want to have a photo session in the Garden District with a professional photographer? If you're spending your precious hours of vacation doing the research while you're already there, you're going to miss out on having an actual adventure. I cannot count the number of times that my friends have gone somewhere and said, oh, we only got to go to a handful of places because I had to sit in the hotel room figuring out what we were going to do. So take advantage of your free time right now. Kind of scope out the ins and outs of your next trips. I know I personally have a Google folder with lists for probably at like 12 different cities at this point. And a lot of my friends have access to them, and they'll update them based off of either their own research, or if they go, they'll add like tips and tricks from their experiences in. And I found some incredible stuff that way, including a hidden absinthe bar and an underground speakeasy that you enter through an abandoned storm tunnel, and a culinary tour that literally is through grandmother's kitchens that I still dream about to this day. So if you like to travel, if isolation has caused you to just lose your mind and dream about leaving your own apartment, go ahead and put the work in now, and you'll have a trip that you will remember for the rest of your life, ready to go whenever you can finally safely travel.
See, I've been thinking about this a little bit too, not as in-depth as you. I can confirm, by the way, that her friend with the spreadsheets is a real person who really does that for a living. It's kind of amazing, actually. But recently, one of my best friends from college who lives in the Pittsburgh area told me that there is a little chain up there called Mad Max that has something called the Gobblerito, which is basically Thanksgiving in a burrito with a side of cranberry sauce to dip in. I need this. I need this in my life. So I really want to go up there and visit her, but I don't know when it's going to be. But it's like the last little kick in the butt of motivation I need to finally go visit her. It's like, okay, yeah, Gobblerito, let's do this. So I'm definitely going to be thinking about that as well. Anyway, we're going to end the show with our look for the helpers. It's positive vibes only in this little corner of the show. And once again, I'd like to ask you all to keep us in the loop with positive news and uplifting stories for us to talk about on the podcast. You can reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, if you got our emails, anything like that. We are open. Anyway, Bree, you're up first. What put a smile on your face this week?
So the GFWC Women's Club of Plant City is hosting a food drive to benefit the United Food Bank of Plant City. And if you've been listening to our podcast even fairly regularly, then you know that UFB is something that we have heavily discussed over the past few months. And it's truly difficult to overemphasize how much they do for the community, especially with COVID-19 putting people out of work and causing children to be home from school when they normally aren't. There's a greater need than ever for food for local families in need. And the Women's Club is going to be doing this food drive on June 16th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at their clubhouse, which is at 1110 North Wheeler Street. You can bring any unexpired and non-perishable food items, but UFB's most needed items, according to everything that the Women's Club is kind of advertising with, is canned goods, oatmeal, cereal, peanut butter, breakfast bars, beans, and pastas. Also, keep in mind, we are now entering hurricane season, so stock up for yourself, and when you're there, pick up some stuff for the food bank. It's really, really one of the best organizations in town to give back. So if you have any questions about the food drive, the number that they are advertising for people to call is 941-725-1135.
Awesome. This week, I'm going to plug one of my stories that I wrote. So last week, a girl from Plant City named Summer Schill got a French bulldog puppy last week thanks to Make-A-Wish Southern Florida. I'm sure a lot of you guys know Make-A-Wish. They do a lot of really cool things for children with critical illnesses and their families, and this is no exception. So Summer's story was that she really, really wanted to go to France. Huge fan of the culture, huge fan of the art, and this was basically her dream. So under normal circumstances, she probably would have been able to go to France with her family. They could all enjoy it together, and she could go see this beautiful country that's basically her dream destination. But then COVID happened. So since COVID happened, Make-A-Wish has stopped granting travel wishes for the time being. They're actually using the hashtag on social media, wishes are waiting, for now. Anyway, this bulldog, Paris Eclair, who is cute as a button, was a pretty good workaround for them, so this is, as any of us will tell you, a very dog-friendly newsroom, and a lot of you who have come in have seen that for yourselves, or a lot of you who've been at the door and gotten barked at by a rotund pit bull. You know that. But anyway, this one warmed all of our hearts, whether you are a straight-up hardcore dog lover or you just like him a little bit. There's no really in-between in the newsroom or anything like that. You can check it out in print. You can check it out online, but if you need a pick-me-up, that's where I'd start. Anyway, on that note, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. Stay tuned to next Friday's podcast, and, well, you all stay safe out there, Plain City.